जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवार गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवार धारी, यशोद नंदन ब्रज जान रंजन, यशोद नंदन ब्रज जान रंजन, यमुना तीर भनचारी, यमुना तीर चारे, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवार धारी, यशोद नंदन ब्रज जान रंजन, यमुना तीर बनचारी, हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, राम राम हरे हरे, Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare, Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Shri Radha Kalachanji ki jai, Gaura Premanande. Okay, Hare Krishna everybody. We have a simple request usually before we start our discourse, and that is if you have your cell phone with you, we certainly encourage, please, that you put that on a silent mode, so that's way we don't have to be competing with the noise while the program is, you know, while the discourse is going on. And then if they're, certainly, young families and children are most welcome in the Hare Krishna temple at all times. But at the same time, we also want to be aware of how we serve one another. And so therefore, if they become disturbing to the mood in the room due to, you know, being anxious and making noise, then we just ask, please, if you could, you know, take them somewhere where they can run and play and have a little more freedom instead of being confined, okay? So thank you. As we get started, many of you probably know myself, but my name is Daru Krishnadas. I am a disciple of His Holiness Naranjana Swami, who is a disciple of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. I feel very fortunate to be here with you today, and especially every Sunday to be with most of you. I see most of you pretty consistently on Sunday. If we have anyone who's joining us for the first time this evening, if you feel comfortable acknowledging yourself in the room, we certainly would like to give you a round of applause. And then also we have a gift for those of you who are joining us for the first time. And that is a copy of the Bhagavad Gita as it is. So Bhagavad Gita as it is the most widely used copy of the Bhagavad Gita in the world today. Translated and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. So if you anybody we have joining us for the very first time here this evening. So we have one family, one person. So, two. Very nice. So if afterwards, if you could see myself, or we also have, sometimes there's a table out here, but we'll make sure that we get you a copy of the Bhagavad Gita if you wish, okay? So normally we speak from the Bhagavad Gita, and this evening we'll be doing the same thing. This evening's class, I was asked to sort of give the class a title if possible. So I had chose the title of Success Factors for Bhakti. And I would like to thank one devotee who's in the room. I won't look at him, but I will say his name. His Grace Dhanakeli Prabhu was very kind to share this book with me recently. And so I started reading through it. And I had was aware of some of these things before in the past, and much of it is stuff that you've heard in your Krishna conscious life. But it was very refreshing to see some of them and to read through them. And so I thought this evening we would speak a little bit about some of the success factors of bhakti, which are coming from this book. And this is a book by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. It's entitled Sri Bhaktiya Loka. And translated, that means illuminations on bhakti. And so he talks about different things that help us in our process of bhakti yoga. So also for anyone that is perhaps a little unfamiliar, that is the process that we practice in the Hare Krishna movement. We practice the process of bhakti yoga, which means developing a loving reciprocal relationship with God based around service. So it's loosely translated. We use specifically, Srila Prabhupada has chose to use the term devotional service when we were referring to bhakti yoga. And so that's exactly what it means. You're performing service. Service means it's reciprocal, right? And devotion means it's done with love and you know, all of your heart. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he's one of the acharyas or teachers in our disciplic line. In fact, he is the father of Srila Prabhupada's spiritual master. So he's directly in our disciplic line. If we're looking at lineage from where I'm at, he would be five generations back, right? So Srila Prabhupada came, Srila Prabhupada's disciples, many of us now are Srila Prabhupada's disciples' disciples, and then Srila Prabhupada was a disciple of His Holiness Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, who was a disciple of Gaurakishore Das Babaji, who was a disciple of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So that is how this is working, okay? So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was on this planet in the 1800s, mid-1800s, primarily that was when he was preaching. So in this book, he talks about characteristics that, or activities, qualities that are beneficial for the process of bhakti yoga. And I wanted to focus on three of those. First one he speaks of is enthusiasm. Before I start, my apologies. Let me do some purificatory prayers. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Shimati Niranjana Swaminitha Namane. Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Shimati Bhakti Viranta Swaminitha Namane. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharane Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paschacha Desha Tarane. Jayavan Chakopatru Bhishakri Pasandu Bhayeva Japati Dhanam Bhavane Bhyo Vaishnavi Bhyo Namo Namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Om Ajnanat Mirandasya Ajnana Ajnana Shalakaya Chakshusha Militam Gena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha.
Also, there are certainly several members of our congregation in the room right now that are substantially superior to me, senior to me in devotional life, so I certainly ask for their blessings as I begin to speak on our Krishna conscious philosophy. Hare Krishna. So going back to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, so we are talking here, he is giving these, there are six different activities or six different things that he mentions, but we're going to focus on three. And as we mentioned, the first is enthusiasm. The second is confidence. And the third is patience. So these three things, if we can figure out how to successfully keep these in our lives, to be an enthusiastic person while we're practicing bhakti yoga, to have confidence in the process of bhakti yoga, and to have patience in our lives on the path of bhakti yoga, this will be very, very helpful to us. As we know, and we can, you know, it's logical even, these are not just qualities that if we adhere to these qualities, right, or if we have these things in our life, they're beneficial for us in all sorts of ways, not just simply in the process of bhakti yoga, right? Enthusiasm. I'm going to read a little bit here about what Srila Bhaktivinod speaks or mentions. You know, I'm not going to read a whole lot of it, but we'll read a little bit of it. So here's what Bhaktivinoda Thakur says about enthusiasm. Without enthusiasm, one becomes negligent in his worship. Negligence is born out of inactivity, apathy, or indifference. Laziness and inertia are called inactivity. When enthusiasm is generated, laziness and inertia cannot remain. The absence of desire to work is inertia. This inertia is opposite to the nature of spirit. If one allows this inertia to remain in his body or heart, then how can he perform devotional service? The state of apathy develops from carelessness. One should practice devotional service without deviation. So this is his commentary on what this enthusiasm is, right? So enthusiasm is a very important part of something that we want to accomplish in our life. And because, as Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has stated, what is it? It's the opposite in essence of laziness, right? So we know that if we are lazy ourselves, if we don't have ambition, then what does that mean generally, right? It's difficult to accomplish something when you don't have ambition, right? When you don't have enthusiasm. So this is the same in the process of bhakti yoga. If you're going to take to something that you want to be successful at in life, you have to go at that with enthusiasm. You cannot go at that without enthusiasm and expect that you're going to ultimately be successful at that activity, right? If you want to become a doctor, if you want to become a lawyer, if you want to become a musician, if you want to become famous, all of these sorts of things that, you know, maybe we are hankering after in this lifetime to, you know, bring us some satisfaction and some happiness or whatever it is that we think we may want, we have to work at it, and we have to work at it with some sincerity in order for it to be brought to us or in order for us to receive the results, right? So it's the same in the process of spirituality and especially in the process of bhakti yoga, because you're developing what in bhakti? You're developing loving devotional service. And loving devotional service means that you have to develop a desire to please someone other than just yourself, right? Because that's what devotional service means towards God. It means you're developing a desire to serve. You are serving God. And so therefore, you must not be lazy in your ability to do this. You have to do this with devotion and with enthusiasm. So now we'll move to confidence. Confidence, we'll read what it says here. Srila Rupa Goswami, also one of the acharyas in our disciplic line, one of the teachers, Srila Rupa Goswami has instructed the practitioner of devotional service to be confident. Until confidence is achieved, one will remain doubtful. Doubtful persons never have auspiciousness, for how will those who are doubtful at heart have faith in unalloyed devotional service? So how are those who are doubtful at heart have faith in unalloyed devotional service? So confidence. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he expands a little bit more on this. It's not just the, typical way that sometimes we think of confidence being like, I'm going to go into that situation and, you know, I'm strong, I'm handsome, I'm beautiful, and therefore I'm going to be great at it, right? It's not simply that, you know, because that's a little bit more on the egoistic material platform. It's really confidence that the process that we are practicing, the process of bhakti yoga, is a process that is beneficial for us. And when you have confidence in something that is beneficial with you, then you go at that with enthusiasm, right? Because you have confidence. If you, again, we'll use these just real life examples. If you want to be a doctor, or we'll say it a little differently. If you want that job that is the big promotion. You've been working hard for it. You've been very enthusiastically learning, understanding how to do it. When you go into the process of interviewing to get that next job, you don't go in there thinking that this is not going to be good for me and display a lack of confidence, right? Because if you go in there and display a lack of confidence, what happens? Generally, you're not going to get that next opportunity. So therefore, you go into it. You prepare for it. You go into it with a great amount of confidence, not just in yourself, but confident that if I get that next opportunity, it is going to be beneficial for my family, for me, for my life, all of those different types of things, right? So you take that same confident attitude and you put it towards the process of bhakti yoga. You have confidence that if I stick to the process of bhakti, it is going to be beneficial for me. It is going to help me develop my relationship with the Lord, which then helps me develop stronger relationships with the Lord's creation, which are, you know, for us, other human beings, other living entities, other living creatures, right? This is confidence. We go into the process of bhakti with enthusiasm and confidence. And now, the third one that we'll speak of from Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and then we have some, you know, lots of examples from the Bhagavad Gita where Krishna is talking about this. So now it's patience, right? Patience. So it states here, for the practitioner of devotional service, patience is extremely necessary. Those who possess the quality of patience are called dhira, or sober. Due to lack of this quality, men become restless. Those who are impatient cannot do any work. By the quality of patience, the practitioner controls himself and then the whole world. So this is Bhaktivinoda Thakur speaking on this. And so what is patience? What is he referring to? We all can understand what patience is, but he's referring to it also, again, in a little bit more of a subtle way. He's referring to learning how to be patient with the obstacles or the challenges and the difficulties that come our way while we're on the process of bhakti yoga. And also understanding that the process of bhakti yoga, of changing our conditioning, can be long. It can also be very short, depending on the enthusiasm that you go into it, right? If you are going into it with utmost enthusiasm and utmost confidence, and you are patient, meaning you don't, you're getting the urges, the desires to do something that is not best for you while you're on the process of bhakti, you hold those at bay, then yes, you can make some very quick progress in devotional life. And if you get the direct mercy or the direct kindness of a more senior person, a very advanced soul, then also you can make some very quick progress. But for most of us, and for the vast majority of people, it's going to take some time to make this progress in devotional life. But that time is relative, of course. That's the other thing that you really have to be able to understand. Time, when we're talking about the way that God is looking at time, God is looking at time through the lens of eternity, right? So even 100 years, 1,000 years, 1,000,000 years, 100,000,000 years, these are short periods relatively overall when you're looking at the span of eternity, right? We've become so conditioned to viewing time through this tiny little lens of 100 years, or maybe you have some history and you can go back and, you know, maybe what we're looking at, maybe 5,000 years of world history that as a collective we can say we, you know, have some, you know, understanding of perhaps. Still, this is a relatively short period of time to have an understanding of what is going on. So patience means that you're going to take to the process. You have to be patient when you are having difficulties. You have to stick to the process because if you have confidence in it, and you have to do it enthusiastically because that enthusiasm will prevent you from becoming careless in the process of bhakti, right? So now we'll read a little bit from the Bhagavad Gita. And it's actually, it's quite a bit that I want to read from the Bhagavad Gita. So I had put them together, put a compilation together of Krishna speaking. So instead of flipping through the pages, I will just open through here and we'll go through it that way, okay? Again, this is one of the things that we, our Srila Prabhupada has taught us specifically, is that in the process of bhakti yoga, you can use everything in the process of bhakti yoga. There's not really a lot of limitations, because ultimately what bhakti yoga does is it brings us to the ability to see everything as part and parcel in relation with Krishna. And therefore, when everything is in relation with Krishna, then using something other than, you know, our traditional things. So we're going to use a little bit of modern technology, right? So here, this is on enthusiasm. So this is coming from the Bhagavad Gita, and this is Bhagavad Gita 9:14, and this is Krishna speaking. And then we'll read a little bit about Srila Prabhupada's commentary on this. So Krishna is talking to his dear friend Arjuna. So is anyone unfamiliar with the Bhagavad Gita to that point to know what we're referring to when I say Krishna is talking to Arjuna? If we haven't, I can give a very brief background if anyone needs. Any hands? Are we okay? We'll give a very brief background. Krishna, Supreme Personality of Godhead. Arjuna, very, very dear friend and associate of Krishna. While Krishna is present here on this earth some time back, he and Arjuna have a very deep conversation. And so there's a period of question and answers, and that is what the Bhagavad Gita is. So here Krishna is speaking. Always chanting my glories, endeavoring with great determination, bowing down before me, these great souls perpetually worship me with devotion. So Krishna is talking about somebody who is on the bhakti process. And now Srila Prabhupada will speak in his commentary. The Mahatma, so this is the great devotee, the Mahatma who is always engaged in different activities of devotional service, as described in the Srimad Bhagavatam, such as hearing and chanting about Krishna. A Mahatma has firm determination to achieve the ultimate end, the association of the Supreme Lord. To achieve that success, he engages all activities, mental, bodily, and vocal, everything in the service of the Lord, Sri Krishna. This is called full Krishna consciousness. Not only is this devotional service easy, but it can be performed in a happy mood. One does not need to undergo any severe penance or austerity. He can live this life in devotional service, guided by an expert spiritual master, and in any position, either as a householder, as a renunciate, a sannyasi, or as a brahmachari, which is a, you know, student learning, in any position and anywhere in the world, he can perform his devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, thus becomes actually a Mahatma, or a great soul. So this is Srila Prabhupada talking about how we in our lives can also become a, you know, devotee, a great devotee of Krishna. And that is, you don't have to make a drastic change in your life necessarily. Sometimes people think they have to make a big change. Now, if your life is going in a direction which is negative, of course, then yes, you do have to make a, you know, perhaps a drastic change. But if things are generally going as a normal, you know, I guess whatever normal means, but you know, if you are going through life and you're fitting the norms of society and your family and friends are looking at you and feeling like, oh, it's a good person, pretty successful, pretty likable, all of these types of things. All you have to do in that situation is begin the process of adding bhakti yoga or adding Krishna consciousness into your life. And as that happens, then, of course, you have to do it with enthusiasm, you have to do it with confidence, and you have to do it with patience, right? But if you do that, then you also will get the opportunity to become one of these great souls that is being spoken about here. And we'll hear one more time how Krishna describes the great soul. Always chanting my glories, endeavoring with great determination. So what is endeavoring with great determination? That's enthusiasm, right? When you're enthusiastic, you're not going to, you know, you want to accomplish that task. you're not going to be stopped from accomplishing that goal. So that is great determination. Always chanting my glories, endeavoring with great determination, bowing down before me, these great souls perpetually worship me with devotion. So this is Krishna from the Bhagavad Gita talking about enthusiasm. Now we'll speak a little bit, hear a little bit about confidence and Krishna's words and Srila Prabhupada's words from the Bhagavad Gita on confidence. So this is coming from the Bhagavad Gita right now, the 10th chapter, verses 9 through 11. The thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me. Their lives are fully devoted to my service, and they derive great satisfaction and bliss from always enlightening one another and conversing about me. To those who are constantly devoted, my apologies, I lost my spot. To those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. To show them special mercy, I, dwelling in their hearts, destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. Though, this is another part of the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, those who always worship me with exclusive devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, to them I carry what they lack and I preserve what they have. Chapter 2. In this endeavor, there is no loss or diminution, and a little advancement on this path can protect one from the most dangerous type of fear. Those who are on this path are resolute in purpose, and their aim is one. O beloved child of the Kurus, the intelligence of those who are irresolute is many-branched. So how is this confidence, right? This is confidence here. First of all, when you are confident, what are you doing? You have satisfaction, right? And happiness. A confident person, when you see a confident person, you can tell rather quickly that person is relatively self-satisfied, we say, right? They don't seem to be, you know, doubting themselves. They're walking tall and strong, right? This is the confident world in the material environment, right? So Krishna is saying that for those devotees, for those that have taken to the process of devotional service, right? They're experiencing great satisfaction and bliss from enlightening one another and conversing about me. So engaging in the process of Krishna consciousness is bringing you happiness and it's bringing you satisfaction, which is confidence. That is explaining confidence, right? Now, Krishna goes on to say that how do we make progress? Krishna says, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. To show them special mercy, I, dwelling in their hearts, destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance, right? So we know that if we take to the process of devotional service, if we take to bhakti yoga, Krishna within our heart is going to support us and going to help us. How can you not feel confident in a situation like that? Knowing that the Supreme Lord, our most dear friend, is there with us, providing us the knowledge, helping destroy our ignorance like this, right? This is Krishna giving us incredible confidence. And now in the 9th chapter, Krishna talks about how not only will he give us what we need, help remove our ignorance, but he'll also carry what we lack, right? He'll preserve what we have and he'll carry what we lack. So if you are going into a difficult task and you have somebody that is going to support you with knowledge, somebody that is going to support you by removing obstacles, you know, removing our ignorance, opening our eyes, preserve the progress we've made, and then also, you know, things that we are lacking with, give those to us. How can you not feel a level of confidence, right? If you're going into any sort of task and you have the support, and we can talk this way a little bit, perhaps as husbands or parents, right? When we have something difficult as a husband, when we have something difficult that we need to accomplish and we're feeling nervous and challenged about doing that. If your spouse shows you 100% support and confidence, what does that then do for you? That gives you, yes, okay, if you, it lifts you up, it gives you the strength you need, right? And this is the loving relationship we are developing with God, with Krishna. If we know that Krishna is there to give us the strength to be able to accomplish things, then we can accomplish things. And as a parent, right, if your child is going into something difficult and challenging and nervous, what do? As a loving family, you surround them and you assure them that you are going to be there to help them and to support them and to give them confidence, and this way they can push through. So Krishna is doing the same exact things for us, correct? This is what we are reading here in the Bhagavad Gita. Now, Krishna goes on to say that on this path of devotional service, in this endeavor, you don't lose what you've already gained. You don't lose it, and it doesn't diminish. A little advancement on this path can protect us from the most dangerous fear, right? So who doesn't feel confident after, if you had this kind of person supporting you, you know, in our everyday lives, which we do, we just haven't necessarily always realized it yet because our, you know, we haven't been able to associate enough that Krishna is there and he's doing these things for us. But if you have this, what Krishna just described, if you have a life partner with you that is doing these things, is that not going to make you feel confident and make you feel good about how you need to go through? So this is Krishna giving us confidence, right? So Srila Prabhupada here, he speaks, and we will read some from his purports because it's very relevant to what is being said here. And of course, it's best to hear from him. So Srila Prabhupada, the merciful protection of the Lord helps the devotees to achieve Krishna consciousness by yoga. And when he becomes fully Krishna conscious, the Lord protects him from falling down to the miserable condition of life. Devotees of the Supreme Lord are 24 hours a day daily engaged in glorifying the qualities and pastimes of the Supreme Lord. Their hearts and souls are constantly submerged in Krishna, and they take pleasure in discussing him with whoever they meet. In the preliminary stage of devotional service, they relish the transcendental pleasure from the service itself. And in the mature stage, they are actually situated in love of God. Once situated in the transcendental position, they can relish the highest perfection which is exhibited by the Lord in his abode. Lord Chaitanya, for anyone that's unfamiliar, is expansion of Krishna himself, the combined form of the two deities we see on the altar in the middle, Radha and Krishna. Lord Chaitanya is the combined form of Radha and Krishna who is come. And we are specifically in his disciplic succession to share the process of bhakti yoga. So this Lord Chaitanya likens transcendental devotional service to the sowing of a seed in the heart of the living entity. Devotional service is just like a seed, and it is sown in the heart of the living entity. And if he goes on hearing and chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, that seed fructifies just as a seed of a tree fructifies with regular watering. The spiritual plant of devotional service gradually grows and grows until it penetrates the covering of this material universe and enters into the spiritual sky. In the spiritual sky, also, the plant grows more and more until it reaches the highest planet where Krishna resides, which is called Goloka Vrindavan, the supreme planet of Krishna. Ultimately, the plant takes shelter under the lotus feet of Krishna and rests there. Gradually, as the plant grows and fruits and flowers, the plant of devotional service also produces fruits. And the watering process is in the form of continuously hearing and chanting. So this is how we water that little creeper. Right now, it's a little plant, right? Because we're starting our process of bhakti. But as we continue to water it through the process and we continue to chant the holy names and we have confidence and we have enthusiasm, then we begin to grow and grow and grow. And this, of course, is the metaphor for our bhakti, right? Until ultimately we are situated at the Lord's abode, situated at his lotus feet. And, you know, we are experiencing a very pleasurable situation, being freed from the anxieties which exist when we are here in this material environment, right? And of course, the most important thing is feeling the love and the shelter of God himself. So now patience. So there's much in the Bhagavad Gita I wanted to share where Krishna is referring to patience. It'll go quick as we read through it, okay? So patience. This is coming from Bhagavad Gita, second chapter. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, "Never was there a time when I did not exist, nor you, nor all these kings, nor in the future shall any of us cease to be. As the embodied soul continually passes in this body from boyhood to youth to old age, the soul similarly passes into another body at death. A sober person is not bewildered by such a change. O son of Kunti, the non-permanent appearance of happiness and distress and their disappearance in due course are like the appearance and disappearance of winter and summer seasons. They arise from sense perception, and one must learn to tolerate them without being disturbed. O best among men, Arjuna, the person who is not disturbed by happiness and distress and is steady in both is certainly eligible for liberation." Going to the sixth chapter, Arjuna speaking now to Krishna. "O Krishna, what is the destination of the unsuccessful transcendentalists who in the beginning take to the process of self-realization with faith, but who later desist due to worldly mindedness and thus do not attain perfection in mysticism? Almighty armed Krishna, does not such a man who is bewildered from the path of transcendence fall away from both spiritual and material success and perish like a riven cloud with no position in any place, any sphere, really? This is my doubt, O Krishna, and I ask you to dispel it completely. But for you, no one is found to be able to destroy this doubt." The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, Sri Krishna, we're talking about now, A transcendentalist engaged in auspicious activities does not meet with destruction either in this world or in the spiritual world. One who does good, my friend, is never overcome by evil. The unsuccessful yogi, after many, many years of enjoyment on the planets of the pious living entities, is born into the family of righteous people or into a family of rich aristocracy, or he takes his birth in the family of transcendentalists who are surely great in wisdom. Certainly such a birth is rare in this world. On taking such a birth, he revives the divine consciousness of his previous life. And he again tries to make further progress in order to achieve complete success, O son of Kunti. By virtue of the divine consciousness of his previous life, he automatically becomes attracted to the yogic principles, even without seeking them. Such an inquisitive transcendentalist stands always above the ritualistic principles of the scriptures. And when the yogi engages himself with sincere endeavor in making further progress, being washed of all contaminations, then ultimately achieving perfection after many, many births of practice, he attains the supreme goal. As a yogi is greater than the ascetic, greater than the empiricist, and greater than the fruit of worker, therefore, O Arjuna, in all circumstances be a yogi. And of all yogis, the one with great faith who always abides in me, thinking of me within himself and renders transcendental loving service to me, He is the most intimately united with me in yoga and is the highest of all. That is my opinion. Now in the seventh chapter, text 19, again, Krishna says, after many births and deaths, he who is actually in knowledge surrenders unto me, knowing me to be the cause of all causes and all that is. Such a great soul is very rare. So you can see Krishna is also telling us in many, many ways in the Bhagavad Gita that patience is required on the process of bhakti yoga. You must understand that it may take us some time, but we should again have confidence that the process is so powerful that even if we are unsuccessful in this attempt in this lifetime, it's most likely this is not our first attempt, right? From what Krishna has just described, most of us, we are picking up on the process of bhakti yoga from a place we had left somewhere in the past. You don't lose what you've gained. So even if you have gotten distracted for some period of time, wish it happens to us. I can speak a tiny bit from, you know, some real life experience. I had the great fortune of, you know, being raised in the Krishna consciousness movement here, Srila Prabhupada's movement. You know, my parents are disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, and, you know, from basically my birth. But then as I entered into the, you know, college years of my life, late high school years, I also, you know, got distracted from the process of devotional service, for sure, you know. Spent many years out there trying to enjoy myself. I wasn't as patient as I should have been when those desires and, you know, distractions came at me. I didn't have full confidence. I didn't have full patience, right? And I got distracted. But somehow out of Krishna's kindness, you know, when I read these words in the Bhagavad Gita, it you know, it's real. It's real for me in my heart because I've experienced it in this one lifetime, you know. I lost the association of Krishna and his devotees and I regained it somehow. And when it was regained, there was a great appreciation for what Krishna has just said in the Bhagavad Gita. How it may take us some time, it may take us many lifetimes, but we shouldn't see that as a negative in the process of bhakti yoga. In fact, it's the normal way. It's the greatest of souls that can do it in a single lifetime. It doesn't mean that we should not aspire for that, right? What's the first thing that we're supposed to do? Go into bhakti with enthusiasm. So we aspire for the best with enthusiasm, right? And with our confidence, we push ourselves as hard as we can. And with patience, we let Krishna reward us on his time scale. And not necessarily on our time scale, because our time scale is conditioned to what we are experiencing in this body. And therefore, you know, if you don't go a little bit back a tiny bit, right, in this particular lifetime, and especially in the modern era that we live in today, right, success is seen as something that comes a little quickly in our lives. And if we aren't getting that, you know, feeling of success, then perhaps we get a little bit discouraged, right? And then, I don't want to do this anymore. I've been trying it so long and it's not working. I give it up. But what we're being told by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is that in the process of bhakti, you have to have that patience. You have to understand that Krishna is there. You have to have confidence that he is observing, he is watching, he is seeing. And because you are making progress, you are not going to lose that progress. And therefore, it may take you a little bit of time, but that's okay if it takes you a little bit of time. Krishna is there, right, with the shining lamp of knowledge to what? Dispel the darkness of ignorance that surrounds us, right? And so if we have Krishna doing that for us in the process of bhakti yoga, how can we not be successful, right? So again, these three success factors in the process of bhakti yoga, we have enthusiasm, we have confidence, and we have patience, okay? So that was what we wanted to speak about this evening. Does anybody have a quick question or a quick comment?
Hari Bol.
See that? That's Krishna's. That's confidence, right? That's confidence. This is exactly. And what a great thank you, Prabhu, for sharing that with us. Okay, so now we normally, I apologize, but we are, you know, we try to stick to our schedule as best as we can. So normally we now have some chanting of the Lord's holy names. So this is, in our process of bhakti yoga, this is the single most important way for us to make progress and to develop attachment for God. And it's specifically singing to, chanting together. It's Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which we mentioned in the class, you know, Srila Prabhupada mentioned him in the purport. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this is what he is prescribing for us, is this congregational, it's referred to as sankirtan, you know, sangha, together, kirtan, praising the Lord in this way. So we do it together in this way, and we benefit each other in that process of chanting the Lord's holy names, okay? And we had asked Gitika to be here. Is she here? Okay, so we do, as she's getting set up, can you go ahead and get set up? And then we did have one other question, Dwarka Prabhu reminded me.
Oh, that's okay.
It's okay? All right. So we'll now chant the Lord's holy names. It's a call and response for anyone that is unfamiliar. So the singer will chant out Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. We'll move this sign. It's right behind here, the words for it. And then after that, we all respond. And if we can do it with a full heart, and Srila Prabhupada, our teacher here, has described that when we are chanting the Lord's holy name, the best way to do it is as a baby is crying for its mother. You know why? Because when a baby is crying for its mother, it's got full enthusiasm. He wants, or she wants, mommy there now, right? Right? So this is the enthusiasm Srila Prabhupada wants us to bring to the chanting of the holy name. So let's please join Gitika in chanting Hare Krishna.